If you've been all wrapped up with the holiday season, no pun intended, between Thanksgiving and the Christmas or Hanukkah season, you probably haven't spent much of any time checking out who Donald Trump is stocking his administration and cabinet with. Well, don't worry. You can do some catching up when the Senate confirmation hearings, when those start up. But joining us now to help you get ready for that show is the executive director of the Revolving Door Project, Jeff Hauser. Thanks for being here today, Jeff.
My pleasure.
The RevolvingDoorProject.org. Learn more about the work of the organization and the education they provide you, because they're watching a lot of important stuff that, as I say, you might not just have the time to do. When you look at the overall list, I mean, the list is mean. We're not going to get to every one of them at this point, but we'll pick out a few of the standouts, in a manner of speaking. But overall, what's the best job prerequisite to have for the Trump administration, experience or loyalty?
Loyalty combined with personal wealth. I think that seems to be what impresses Donald Trump. Loyalty is a necessity, and being a billionaire is a good to have in that job application process.
And also helps if you either appeared or worked at Fox News, apparently.
Yes, it's actually one of his great insights. It's so simple that it shouldn't actually be an insight, but he understands that a lot of the job of the executive branch is to communicate to voters. And all too often, I think Democratic presidents forget that. They're too busy doing the work that they don't spend the time talking about the work and educating the public. And I think Trump, for all his many, many warts, in my views, he is a savvy operator and who understands media. And so he likes having people who are good on television.
Now, you mentioned the wealth and the income of some of these selections. I think the last thing I heard, there are 18 individuals who you could describe as super rich. Why is that a concern?
Well, because these people are not super rich, invested in broad-based mutual funds that reflect the S&P 500 or the Russell 2000 or some broad-based portfolio that syncs up with the broader interests of the United States as at whole. They and their families tend to have very specific, concentrated interests in given industries and given companies. And given that, when you're in government, you can make sure that the benefits of the government are felt on the companies that you favor, and you can punish their competitors. So I'd like to have people in government in these high-ranking, prestigious positions focus each morning on what they can do to help the American people. And I may or may not agree with their ideology, but at least I can respect what their purposes and what their incentives are. But with this administration, I think a lot of these people, their first goal in life is to get even richer. They know exactly what they can do in government in order to make themselves richer, and I fear that that's what they're going to do.
Now, people will come back at that by saying, well, aren't there a series of laws within federal government and watchdogs such as your organization outside of government who can keep these, for lack of a better phrase, their dogs in their yard?
There aren't enough laws, and the ability to enforce those laws is somewhere between nothing and, barely more than nothing. We passed a bunch of laws in the 1970s in the wake of Richard Nixon and Watergate, which was not just a burglary, but was a series of incredible scandals in the Nixon administration. And that was like a decent start. But basically, over time, people have figured out the loopholes and the weaknesses in those laws. Even the laws that do exist require a few different things. For one, they require independent prosecutors. And I don't really think Pam Bondi as attorney general, Cash Patel as the FBI director, these Trump loyalists are not going to go after Trump administration officials who break the law. So right off the bat, it doesn't even matter if something is illegal, if they'll never be enforced. Secondarily, we've seen that Donald Trump pardoned a bunch of people in his first term, including, Paul Manafort, his former campaign manager, and anyone who could hurt him before he left office in 2020. Since then, the Supreme Court has decided that a president cannot essentially commit crimes if they're doing their job. We've also seen, both in Donald Trump and to some extent Joe Biden, that the pardon power is complete, thorough, and not subject to review. So you're not going to get prosecuted in office. And if you're worried that you were a little too loyal to Donald Trump and you broke the law, or you're a little too loyal to yourself, but you were also loyal to Trump, you'll get a pardon on the way out, and there's nothing the rest of us can do. There's also the matter that he fired a bunch of inspectors general, who are some of the internal law enforcement officials who are supposed to snuff out corruption. In general, I think the Office of Government Ethics under Donald Trump was rendered ineffective. I don't think, functionally speaking, we have any law enforcement that Trump or his team need to respect.
Let's get into a few of the names. You mentioned Pam Bondi. The reaction to her was, well, at least she's not Matt Gaetz. Is that about the best someone could say about this pick?
Yes, I don't want to dismiss how concerning it would be to have as the nation's top law enforcement official somebody who's been so credibly accused of misconduct, involving 17-year-old girls and the like. Obviously, I don't know the specifics of the case, but there, people on both sides of the aisle have seen the congressional investigation come away very concerned. But Pam Bondi is a swamp creature. She spent several years lobbying at this firm, Ballard Partners, which is the lobbying firm probably most closely associated with Donald Trump. The firm has a ton of foreign clients. Basically, if you're a big company that has done something problematic, or you're a foreign country seeking to curry favor with the United States government, you go to Ballard Partners, and you go there so that you can have figures like Pam Bondi, who are deeply trusted and respected by Donald Trump and his inner circle. And it's really worrisome that the attorney general, who's supposed to enforce our laws when corporations break the law, to weigh in when foreign governments are meddling in American affairs, to have somebody who has so many former clients in those spaces, and honestly likely to return to a place like Ballard Partners after her stint as attorney general. So I think we're better off in terms of the personal role model or lack thereof as attorney general, but in terms of being corrupt, I don't think Bondi is any less bad than Gaetz, and arguably might even be worse.
I'm with Jeff Hauser, who is the executive director of the Revolving Door Project, revolvingdoorproject.org, their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Being fair and balanced here, I know that's been used elsewhere, but so be it. So a lot of people say Marco Rubio for Secretary of State, Susie Wiles, Chief of Staff, even Mike Huckabee, certainly pro-Israel as ambassador to Israel, were sane picks, and there were early picks too. But as you were observing this, when did you, after those picks, realize, all right, we're starting to run off the rails again with what we're going with here?
I think that the signature individual to think about in terms of whether or not Donald Trump is keeping his promises is Russell Vogt. It looks like it's spelled Vought, but it's pronounced Vogt, to be director of the Office of Management and Budget. This is not a high-profile job, but it's a super powerful one. Right now, America's government may or may not be shut down. Negotiating the budget is one of the core things that happens in Washington, D.C. The director of the Office of Management and Budget is obviously central to that process. The director of the Office of Management and Budget is also in charge of managing the civil service and deciding what regulations should or should not be maintained or rendered. And Russell Vogt was one of the key architects of Project 2025. And lots of people have expressed alarm about Project 2025 over the last 12 to 18 months. There's real organic groundswell that this is like a series of really kind of extreme pro-corporate and far-right proposals. Vogt was an architect of those proposals. Vogt is both a leading social conservative and a leading pro-corporate royalist figure. He straddles both extremes of the Republican Party. And Donald Trump disavowed Project 2025. He said it was unfair to have Project 2025 laid at his doorstep. But in empowering Russell Vogt and many other figures amongst his appointees who were associated with Project 2025, it becomes clear that Trump was lying, that his disavowal of Project 2025 was just a lie in order to get elected. He knew it was a serious political millstone, and he just lied about it. And Vogt will be able to touch everything that this government does of consequence. And he could not be more of a Christian nationalist, and he could not be more supportive of corporate rights and opposed to worker rights and consumer rights. It's very dangerous. So I think vote kind of personifies what is troubling.
I want to wrap up with three names, and you could pick out the one that you think is the either the least likely to get nominated and get through the confirmation hearings. And we should mention, too, not every nominee or selection has to go through confirmation, which is something else to watch out for as well, sure, as far as who makes the list. Or you can also say which one is most troubling to you should they get in through the confirmation. Pete Hegseth, Tulsi Gabbard, or Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
I think that probably RFK Jr. is the most dangerous insofar as the series of nominees that are coming out that will have the key jobs even beneath him in the Health and Human Services Department are also deeply troubling. And so I think that the department will really be seized by RFK Jr. and other MAGA figures in a way that I'm not quite sure is going to happen at the Defense Department, even if Pete Hegseth is confirmed. I think that Pete Hegseth, just frankly, is so unqualified for the job, and the Pentagon is such a has such a complicated set of missions, and the building is complicated, like it's literally complicated to walk around and know where you're going. I just don't think this guy is – I think he's going to spend so much time trying to focus and, like, figure out where to go and what to do, that I don't think he's going to be able to do as much terrible stuff as you might otherwise fear. Whereas I think RFK Jr., aided by people like Dr. Oz and a bunch of other less well-known figures who have outrageous views, I really do think they have a game plan to take a hold of the National Institutes of Health and the Center for Disease Control and how to manage the Medicare and Medicaid in ways that will be deeply dangerous to the health of the American people. So I'm worried that they will be able to succeed in implementing their extreme vision. Whereas I think Pete Hegseth is like, you know, the guy has to promise to stop drinking as secretary. I'm just not really that worried that he is going to get a grasp on a job that is, like, I think just far too complicated for him.
And the same can be said, too, with Kash Patel. A lot of people are fearing, what if Patel gets in? But I think once we get to the confirmation hearings, both Hegseth and Patel will be doing so much having to explain themselves that they will create their own doubt, if not magnify what already exists.
Yeah, and I think that some of the – there are going to be some high-profile failures if a figure like Patel is in charge on just the – sort of blocking and tackling of fundamental law enforcement, that I think the politics to get rid of Patel will develop pretty quickly.
He is the executive director of the Revolving Door Project on the web at therevolvingdoorproject.org. They take a look at things that need to be looked at, and furthermore, they explain why it needs to be looked at and answered for by those in that spotlight. So learn from the website. It's very valuable information. Jeff Hauser, thanks so much for being here today.
My pleasure.